You give God praise. You're going to hear me today asking for praise, and I tell you every Sunday why. Because the Bible says, what says it?
The Bible.
That He inhabits the praise of His people. Wherever you are, in your car, in your bedroom, in your kitchen, when you start to praise Him, the Bible says He inhabits the praise of His people. He's right there with us. And that just makes me feel so secure inside. That's why I'm going to ask you to praise Him in church. Because if we don't praise Him in church, it's going to be hard to praise Him during the week when we forget about that. So you'll hear about that today. Oh, beautiful, for spacious.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you.
morning, everyone, and welcome to the Derby Second Congregational Church Annual Scout Sunday. My name is Noah Darrow, and I am Troop 3's Chaplain Aide. I am pleased to announce that today is the Centennial Scout Sunday. I'd like to say on behalf of the Scouts and Scoutmaster Randy Ritter, thank you for coming. Also, Troop 3 appreciates the church for sponsoring us since 1913. Would William Bradshaw please come up and do the Scout Oath and Law?
Scout Attention, Scout Sign, Scout Motto. I prepare to take the Scout Oath. On my honor, I'll do my best to do my duty, do that in my country, to Scout Law, to help other people at all times. Myself, physically strong, mentally weak, really straight. Scout Law. A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Would Robert Stanky please come up to do the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. I will be reading 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 through 16. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth us, with us and laboreth. Would Michael Shea please come up to do a second reading?
Thank you. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even those who are young grow weak. Young men can fall exhausted. But those who trust in the Lord will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. And they will walk and not grow weak. Isaiah 40, 29-31.
Would Thomas Robertson please come up to do a third reading?
Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through a prophet's message, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and those who hear you.
Thank you.
Can we give some praise to these young men this morning in church? Thank you for being here today. I'm excited about this day. I always get excited. Can you turn that back where it was just a little too low? Thank you. I have the privilege to be able to talk to young men today, but also still continue to address the church, the people, and I have to pray to God and find a way to touch hearts and touch minds, even the young, and like as I said, those folks. So thank you for this honor and this privilege. I just pray that anything I may preach today will move you and touch you in ways in your life that haven't done before. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, you'll remember things today. You'll remember things that happened today when you get older. I remember my first grade teacher. I do. And I remember her for a reason, because she was kind and compassionate, and she gave me the peace. Imagine, you guys remember being in first grade, how scared you were the first time you walked into school? I didn't go to kindergarten, so. But her name was Miss Litsky, and I remember today like it was when I was little, because she gave me hope, she gave me this love, and I remember thinking the second grade teacher was going to be pretty tough, because you know how you guys know the teachers ahead, you all checking out, making sure what's going to be easy or not. Well, the second grade teacher was going to be very difficult. So when I went to New Irving School for second grade, I sat down and looked up, and Miss Litsky was there again. Somehow, some way, she went into teaching second grade, so I had her for 2 years in a row. You see, and I gave God the blessings for that. It was just awesome how that happens. But you're going to remember these days. You're going to remember who it is that lifts you up and helps you, that helps you remember the most. Anybody ever hear of a guy named Derek Jeter? You know Derek? I truly met somebody, Randy, recently, didn't know who Derek Jeter was. Do you know who Derek Jeter was?
The worst baseball player ever?
The worst baseball player ever? You got a good one here, didn't you? Derek Jeter. You never heard anything bad about Derek. He played for 20 years in baseball. You never heard anything bad about places he went, the people he did, things he saw. And I believe this, and I'm just saying this is what I believe. There was a reason why you didn't hear much about Derek like that. Because he had three people around him. Three people who are amazing human beings. One of them being Andy Pettit. One of them being Jorge Posada. And the third one being Mariano Rivera. These three men were devout Christians. In fact, Mariano's got a church in New York that he rebuilt right now, right? And he loves God. He always loved God. Pettit was the same way, and Posada the same way. And these were his three closest friends. And I believe because he had those three friends that he stayed straight and narrow, and they kept him. Every time he tried to pull away or waver a little bit, I believe that they were great men in his life. And there's going to be great men in your life. But for each of you, there will be one who will touch you, inspire you in ways that will stay with you always. Scoutmaster Reverend F.H. Hammond. Anybody know that name? I'm sure you do. Troop 1. Scoutmaster Reverend Alfred Budd. Troop 3. 100 years ago this month, he was preaching to men like you. He was giving a sermon to men like you to lift you up, to lead you. Let me quote some of the things he said that day. You are to answer the many calls of duty and service, to get ready to take the place of the boys who are at the front. He was telling you that you're going to be leaders. Say that with me. Leaders. You are going to be what?
Leaders.
Hallelujah. He also said, youth has always dared great things. He was talking about the youth. He was talking about you. He also said, it is your privilege to make it grander, nobler, and better. Hallelujah. That was so beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He said this also. This is powerful. And this goes for everybody, because this is the beginning of the sermon for y'all. The scout is not ashamed of his uniform. He believes it stands for something worthwhile. And he also said, do not be ashamed of your religion. Imagine that. He said that 100 years ago, right here in Derby. 100 years ago, speaking to you. And he said, do not be ashamed of your religion. That goes for all of us. Can I get an amen? That goes for all of us today. Your faith in God. It may seem like others will not understand. You'll see that. You'll find that people don't understand your walk with the Lord. It may seem that they ridicule you. Maybe they act afraid of you. Maybe they laugh at you. But remember, it's out of their lack of knowledge for who God is and how beautiful God is when they tease you, when they look at you. But here's the truth, and I found this to be true in my life. They really want to know that you really believe that because they need you to believe that. Because when you believe that, then you can lead others to that. You can lead others to the truth if you truly believe it. And if you stand on what he said, let me read what he said again. The scout is not ashamed of his uniform. He believes it stands for something worthwhile, and it does. And then he said, do not be ashamed of your religion. You become the inspiration to some for them to do better. That's each and every one of us. Now I'm looking at these young men, but I'm looking at you too. You all become an inspiration. You all need to tell people about Jesus. You all need to tell people about your church, about the good news, because people need to hear good news. How many hear good news on TV? You don't hear a lot of it. You hear a lot of arguing, a lot of people's opinions. But when you give people good news, they take it, they receive it, and it changes their life. That's our duty, to give the good news. That's what we're all here for. You become the inspiration. Imagine that. And this is the choice you have. Are you going to be one being inspired, or are you going to be one who inspires? That's your choice. Then he said this one. This was my favorite one, Randy. He said, you can only do this as you are prepared yourself. And what is your motto? What is your motto? You okay, you can say it out loud in this church. We'd like to have smiles. Prepared. It's a great word, isn't it? But that word prepared means power to overcome, to be patient, to help others, to lead others, to inspire others. Being prepared is a great word. It's a powerful word. When you're prepared to face anything in life, and again, not just these children, but you, anybody ever have an argument with your wife or your husband? Hallelujah. Well, you need to be prepared to be able to deal with that. You need to be prepared to know how to be compassionate. You need to be prepared to know how to be gentle, how to be loving. Those are things you need to be prepared for. And when you have a problem with your teacher, anybody ever have a problem with your teacher? That's right. Amen. See that? You need to be prepared to face those problems. When you're prepared, and I got that written here too. Hallelujah. You can only do this as you are prepared yourself. You can only do this as you are prepared yourself. Anybody in the Bible ever hear about David and Goliath? The story of David. That's a true story. King David. He fought this man that was a giant of a man where the army was afraid to face him. They were afraid. Say that with me. They were afraid to face him. But David wasn't. You know why David wasn't? He was prepared. That's your motto. What was he? He was, listen to what he did. Because he took care of the sheep, and he had to take care of the lion and the bear, he had to learn how to take care of those animals, to protect those animals. Every day, how to feed those animals, how to watch over those animals. And he had a plate, he used a sling. Anybody ever, sometimes they call it a bolo. But he came so proficient with the sling that he could put a rock wherever he wanted. He could take an apple off the tree. He was so good with that sling. He was to face Goliath. He wasn't afraid because he saw that and he said, I've been there, done that. I can take that. I can deal with that because I'm prepared. Anybody ever hear about Jesus being tempted by the Satan? He didn't eat for 40 days. Imagine not eating for, I can't imagine eating for 4 hours. That's the truth. He didn't eat for 40 days. It's in the Bible. You can look it up and read it. I know you know it. And then Satan came and tempted him 3 times. How many times? And 3 times Jesus looked at him and said, it is written. And he quoted scripture back to him. And how did he survive that? He was? Hallelujah. You're catching on now. A professor. My daughter's a professor. I'm so proud of her. You guys go to school today and tomorrow. And all of a sudden the teacher said, we're going to have a test. What's the first thing you do? Oh, man. But if you're... You face that test with a smile. Just like people at work. Things happening in your life tomorrow. You might go to work. Something happens at your work. And you want to be prepared. You want to be ready. You want to be standing strong. You want to know what's ahead. Facing life trials and problems are no different. And they're just no different. And you face them differently when you're... That's a big word. It's a big word, but it's a powerful word. How many want to be powerful? How many want to win the battles? How many want to win the arguments? You don't ever want to be right just for being right. You want to be right because you are right and because you're helping somebody. You're leading somebody. You're helping, lifting up. You're being the one who inspires. That's what I'm saying to you today. Each one of you can be great. You are great. These men that are working with you, they're great. You're going to remember them for the rest of your life. Some of you will remember different incidents. If you ask them 20 years from now, they'll each one have a different story. You might not remember. That's the coolest part of it. But they'll remember something you guys said to them, something you did to help them, some words you said that lifted them up, and you'll say, "Boy, I don't remember that." But they remembered that because you inspired them to remember that. You gave them the greatness. Your potential is great. Amen. It's great, fellas. Your potential is great. Oh, so I'm 70 years old. I don't care how old you are. If God gives you a dream and a vision, He's going to give you help to get it done. He's going to lift you up as long as you know this book right here. What is this book? This is the Bible. I wish I had my other Bible today. I have a Bible with a cover on it. It has pinstripes and the New York Yankee logo on it. Red Sox fan. Are you a Patriot fan too? Oh, I'm sorry. I was actually rooting for Brady. I don't know why. See, I'm a Colt fan, but I was rooting for Brady. He let me down too. Just saying. Praise the Lord. I love this day. I love this church. I said this last week. I love being able to talk about God. I love being able to feed people something so good that it changes their lives. The hardest days. The days of confusion. Give this to my wife. She gave me this. The hardest days, the days of confusion, sadness, disagreements, not feeling well. Those days are the days we all need church and God more. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling sick, you're feeling discouraged, you're feeling alone, when you're having those days where nothing seems to be right, this is where you need to be the most. You give God that glory. You give God the first. You call on God to change things. How many have ever made a mess of anything? Amen. Okay, well, if you made a mess of things, God can fix those messes. But that's the first place you got to go to. You say, "I didn't go to church because I didn't feel good. I need prayer." No, come to church and get prayer. I'm a little confused. I feel alone at home. I feel depressed at home. Well, come to church and meet a new family. You won't be depressed. Oh, I'm worried about paying my bills. Come to church. We'll help you. The church isn't about giving money, but the church does help. Trust me, when you got a family of God, they don't want to see any of their family hurting. So the hardest days of your life, the hardest things you go through are the days you really need to be in a church that tells you about Jesus, doesn't put demands on you, but tells you the good things and the promises of God. Amen? The promises of God, not the promises of me. I can promise you that God is good, but God is the one who blesses. We mess it up. I got that written right here. You see that right there? It says in yellow, "We mess it up." Right there. I'm not lying. Hey, it might not be your fault today. It might be somebody else's. That's why we come together to trust in God, to trust in this house. Right here. Thank you, Lord. What a privilege. This is powerful. You might want to write this, some of this down. This is so, I prayed so hard for this message today. And Randy, thank you for giving me that. I asked Randy a few weeks ago, "What can I preach about with the boys? What can I preach?" And you handed me that paper with 100 years ago, Reverend, right here, is speaking about the Methodist Church. 100 years ago, talking to folks like you about God, about being prepared, about life. And I was so excited to read that, and I just kept reading it, taking it. And did you read on the bottom when they had the minstrel show? That the scouts actually, and a little note on the bottom about them, and I laugh because that was one of the, you guys do the best shows, following in that word. Listen, everybody, please receive God this morning in a different way. Being prepared together with being faithful to God, with His Word, with God. Imagine that, being prepared to face those things, but being prepared with God, being faithful to God, knowing this word, will make you one who is always the one who overcomes. He will make you always be the one that overcomes, will make you always be one who inspires others to be great, a leader, and a doer. Knowing that that word, that Bible, was given to us. Those people that wrote that Bible, they weren't just writing notes. They were writing for us, for all of you, for today, for 2018. Yeah, it might have been 2,000 years ago, but show me something in there that doesn't work today. Show me how that Bible is obsolete. It's not. It's more alive today than it was back then because we have Jesus and we understand the promise and we understand God loves us. This book was written for us. Knowing His Word was written for you, putting His Word to work in your life at any age will never leave you. Let me say this again. Putting His Word in your life, whatever you're going through today, you give it to God. You start reading this Word. You go to Proverbs. You find something. That it, you put His life, His Word in your life, knowing His Word was written for you. Putting His Word to work in your life will never leave you confused. It will never leave you afraid, alone, or discouraged. It won't. Gentlemen, if you trust God, people, if you trust God, if you really come and trust God, go to a church where they're preaching God, hear the Word of God, let it get into your heart, not somebody else's, but your, wonder why I didn't receive it today. Maybe my heart wasn't open. Receive it today. That is the miracle of God. The people say, I want to see miracles. Well, trust them. First, you need to trust them. Then you need to be prepared to see the miracles, to understand the miracles. When you have that teacher say, we're going to have a test today, and you're prepared, nothing scares you. When you're facing life and maybe something in your job is not working out, and you're afraid you're going to lose your job, you say, wait a minute, God gave me this job. He'll give me another job. When that happens, when you see God in your life, you never let go. When your bills can't be paid and you're praying, God, I need some help, and all of a sudden your bills are paid, you say, you know what? I need more of God. When you're feeling sick, you feel alone, you call somebody on the phone, say, come to church. You go to church, you meet somebody with compassion, caring. All of a sudden, you say, God is real. Then you start telling other people, right, Deacon Sergio, God is real. You need to find Him for yourself. Hallelujah. That's the miracle of God. I'm going to give you a secret that you may never heard before. Right, Greg? Life's not perfect. That's the secret. It's not perfect. Not for Red Sox fans. Not for Yankee fans either, trust me. There will always be hills and valleys at every age. At what age? Every age. But we all have a choice. And I choose God. And I choose this book. Reverend Hammond did. Reverend Budd did. Leaders, the Scoutmasters, they do. 100 years ago, they believed in this book. And I'm going to read one thing from the Bible today. And I pray that you hear this promise for you. One of my favorite scriptures. You see, I make mistakes too. Don't be nervous. I don't think he was nervous at all, actually, Randy. I don't think at all. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Simply means that you think about it. You put it in your heart and you start to think about it. And you start to say what it is. You start to read it. It said, meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall do all that is written in there. Act on it. Believe for it. Everybody, believe it. Trust in it, and you will have good success. Is there anybody here who doesn't want good success? I didn't think so. That's the miracle of God. When you're going through things in life, call on God. That's the miracle. When you're hurting, this is where you need to be, in a church that reads His Word, that's a family in Christ. That's the miracle of God. When you feel lost, you need somebody to hold you. That's the God. That's the miracle of God. That's the God that we love. That's the same God that those Reverend Scoutmasters loved. And I pray that we all receive that today in Jesus' name. Give Him praise, church. All you.
Would Scouts Mikey Swajcek, Thomas Robertson, Joseph Warzala, and John Warzala please do the communion?
It's interesting when you read this in the Bible about Jesus taking the bread, blessing and breaking the bread, and giving it to His disciples, telling them to eat. Eat. Blessing, and this is my body, He says, being torn for you. being, I'm going to stand in the gap for you. I'm going to take your punishment. I'm going to do everything for you. And the disciples who were with him didn't understand what he was saying when you read it. They didn't know what he meant. But we do. We do. In this church, we just simply do this as he asked us to do in remembrance of Jesus. So, gentlemen, if you would. I think we're good with that. Jesus, to get us to this point. Thank you that we have you to call on, you to trust in. Thank you that we have your word to believe in, to hold on to read and put into our hearts, into our spirits, into our thoughts. Thank you, Lord, that you remove the confusion of life. Thank you, Lord, that you help us. You lift us higher than the trials and the tribulations. You give us that peace that surpasses all understanding, even in times of unbelievable trials. You give us that peace to be strong through it all, to face it, to lead others, to tell others about you, to read your word freely. Thank you, Lord, for this day. This is the first day that I can grow closer to you, Lord, devote more of my life to you, my heart to you, Lord. Thank you. And the simplicity that is Christ, and the peace and the joy of a church where a family comes together to pray, not under bondage but under freedom, to enjoy one another, to love one another, to read His Word together, to lift each other up, to hold each other when we need it. The miracles of God in His house. When you're hurting the most is when you need Him the most. We need each and every one of us here together as a family, believing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, gentlemen. Did you bring one to Joanne? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. God is so great. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, according to your word, we do this this morning in remembrance of you for what you did for us once for all on that cross. In Jesus' name. Receive the sacrament of the blood. I ask everybody just to pray, Lord, forgive me of my iniquities this week. Forgive me, Lord, for anything that I might have said or done, Lord, that just wasn't right in your eyes, Lord, and I didn't walk the way I should have, Lord, or said what I did or acted what I did, Lord. Forgive me for the anger. Forgive me for the frustration. Forgive me for the worry, Lord. Cleanse me this morning so I can receive. He poured the wine into a cup. And he said, this is my blood being shed for you. According to the book of Matthew, he said, for the remission of your sins. So as you receive this, receive that blessing this morning for what Jesus did for all of us. God always makes a way where there's no way. He directs our paths. He holds us close to Him for that good success. Opens doors that men can never open. Closes doors in front of you that would hurt you to go through. He stops you because He loves you. You need to know him like that. The Bible says to have a personal relationship with Jesus in your heart. Accept him in your heart, in your life. Read that word that feeds us all. When God does something special for you, you won't be able to hold it in. You'll have to tell your friends. Remember, it's God who heals our land. He heals us. Thank you, Lord. The confusions of the world and the angers of the world are just as real. But with God, we rise above that. We come back together as a family, not letting anything divide us because of God. That's a miracle. Thank you, Lord. That's a miracle that God gives to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amazing grace, unmerited favor that God has blessed us all with. We need to use that. Take that, accept that this morning. Enjoy that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You went upstairs, yes. You bring that to the pianist. A 100 years ago today, or this month, they were preaching in this town. And it's so exciting to share in that. What they started, here we are, continuing it. 25 years from now, they'll be here preaching. And I pray they'll be talking about all of us. He shed his blood for the remission of our sins. He did it once for all, and he simply asked that we do this in remembrance of him and his house, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this day. Hope that you give us on this day. And I told the church last week that I asked it, did you think that the football players heard you when you were screaming and hollering at the TV set? And everybody did that. They all laughed. And I said, well, of course they didn't hear you, but when you talk to God, he hears you. When you pray to God, he hears you. Wherever you are, whatever time of day it is, day or night, whether you're alone or the 1,000 people, when you pray to God, he hears you. He knows your needs. He just loves you that much.